regular basis, you're hearing all kind of verses that are being used to predict or make the current events line up with end time prophecy. I'm about wore out with it. It just makes me want to stink, and what the old preacher used to say, it makes me want to vomit. And I think you can't say that now. You're supposed to say regurgitate or whatever, or lose your lunch or something like that. But I get worn out with the stuff of people trying to, it's easy to prophesy backwards. Meaning it's easy to read a thing and then go into the Bible and try to find a verse to fit it. The real prophet is a guy that can prophesy ahead before it happens and get it to 100%. That's the real prophet. Now, I can prophesy this much to you. Don't worry, it's not about paying off your loan or a new car coming or whether or not you're going to be healthy or wealthy. I can promise you trouble. I can promise you trials. I can promise you tribulation. I can promise you if you're saved that one day your trouble, your trials and tribulation will be over.
Amen.
I can promise you a home in heaven because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I'm prophesying,
Amen. But
I'm prophesying according to the Bible. That's the difference, not according to the headlines. And what you're starting to see now on a real regular basis is you're seeing a lot of these individuals that are finding things that are happening. They're having bombings in Jerusalem and things like that, and they're pulling all these verses in about the second coming of Christ and about the second coming and about the tribulation period. If I don't do it now, I'll forget all about it. I'll take care of that other thing later. Thank you very much. About the second coming of Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can't take those verses, and I'm going to deal with these things in Matthew 24, Lord willing, this morning. You can't take those verses and try to make them fit your theology.
Amen.
And you can't make them fit headlines. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it until you're tired of hearing me say it. The apple of God's eye is not the United States of America.
Amen.
And you cannot interpret Bible prophecy with the United States of America's headlines and say, because this is happening in the United States of America, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. 99.9% of that book is about Israel, about a coming king to Israel, about the nation of Israel, and so on and so forth. You get in because Israel rejected. And just so that you know, you got in because the Lord was using you to provoke them to jealousy. Now you get the better part. You and I, we get it. You get the age of grace. You get the salvation by grace through faith. That not of yourself, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You're different than anybody else in there. But don't ever mistake it. It's not because of you. It's because of what they did. So God came and brought you a free gift. Now that's a blessing to have that. But you got to be careful with this stuff that's going on now. And so Brother Bert asked this question. It has to do with something to do with the second coming. And it is both a historical event that has already occurred, that was a prophesied historical event that has occurred, and it is also a future event when it's referring to this particular thing. Come to Psalms 138. Look, if you will, please, verse 7. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem. Remember that. Edom and Jerusalem, who said, raise it, raise it. That's not raise the roof. That's not pump it up. That's not get it up higher, lift it up. Raise here is an Old Testament word for burn it to the ground. I'm sorry, 138:7. 137:7. Sorry. 137:7. Excuse me. Thanks for catching me. Are you there now? All right, 137:7. Remember, O Lord, children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof, even to the foundation. Now, that means mow it down to nothing. That means burn it to the ground. It sounds an oxymoron, where it doesn't sound right. You're saying raise it, but the raise here is not R-A-I-S-E, as in to lift. It is in to destroy. And then he says, O daughter of Babylon, that's what we're going to deal with, who art to be destroyed. All right, watch it. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. So the daughter of Babylon is to be destroyed. Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast, and happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Father, we pray that you'll bless these time here of Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the things that you've done for us and allowing us to be in this place. We'd ask now your blessings upon the service. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now notice what he says there, and doesn't it sound kind of strange to you? First of all, he says, the old daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. That's prophetic. So whoever the daughter of Babylon is going to be destroyed. And then happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. They're reaping what they sowed. In other words, they've destroyed people, so they're going to be destroyed. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Well, that's a hard saying if you think about it. You're talking about somebody that's killing the children. And he's saying he's happy about it. In the book of Deuteronomy, come over to Jeremiah chapter number 51. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord says this. Now, this is a side of God that most people don't want to talk about, and they don't believe it's in the Bible. But in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, "As I rejoiced over thee to do good unto thee, I shall rejoice over thee to destroy thee." You'll rejoice? Yeah, I'll rejoice. In other words, as much as it made me happy, it gave me pleasure to be a blessing to you, I'll take pleasure in destroying you, but don't be blaming that on me. That's coming because of what you did. That's what people don't understand about God. I'm sure all of you witness on a regular basis. You talk to other people about Jesus Christ. You do your best to try to tell them about heaven and hell and stuff like that. And you've had individuals probably say this to you. "Well, I just can't believe that a loving God would put people in hell." Have you ever had them tell you that?
Yes, sir.
God doesn't put them in hell. They put themselves in hell. If you go to hell, it's because of your own stupidity, your own pride, your own arrogance, because you won't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're going to get some more of this morning in Sunday school, ladies and gentlemen, but you need to realize the dumbest thing you can do is be prideful and arrogant when it comes to salvation. When it comes to salvation, the simplicity of the gospel, how that Christ died for your sins according to Scripture, was buried and raised again the third day according to Scripture, he tells you that if you trust Jesus Christ, you go to heaven. If you want to go to hell, you can trust anything else. Well, preacher, I get tired of hearing about going to hell, going to hell, going to hell. You thank God you're not going there. But people need to hear about it, and you need to be reminded you're not going there because of Jesus. You say, why? To tell other people that. But you're not going to stand up, see people that come up. They'll come up out of hell. They'll come there at the great white throne judgment, be standing there with the smell of brimstone all over them, smell like sulfur when they come up out of that place. They'll stand there in the robes of their own self-righteousness, and there's not a single one of them say, "I can't believe a loving God would put me in hell." By that time, they'll know, after they've been in hell 1 second, you know what they'll know? "I'm here because I chose to reject Jesus Christ." Don't put that on God. I get wore out with it. I preach this week about it, where everybody's blaming God. Why'd God let this happen? Why'd God let that happen? How come God let so-and-so? Hey, stupid, it happened because you did something that you shouldn't have done. I remember those four girls several years ago that took off out 3 o'clock in the morning and got T-boned at that traffic light, and we had to get a wrecker in there to peel the top off of that thing like a tuna fish can, and all four of those girls dead, 17 and 18 years of age, and they had those caskets stretched out across that big church and talking about what good girls they were, what fine, clean girls they were, what good Christian girls they were. Can I ask you a question? What were Christian girls doing out at 3 o'clock in the morning? How come every one of them lied to the other one's parents about where they were staying, and none of them were where they said they were supposed to be? And then the preacher got up and had the audacity, "Well, we just don't understand why God allows things like..." Hey, stupid, it ain't God that caused that. The devil's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You give him a chance, you step out of that place of protection, you might be the next victim. I remember when we were in South Africa, and Brother Josh and Brother Brad were there, and Adrena Lynn and Brother Sam and Miss Tara, and I think that's about all that went there. And we were there. While we were there, we went through these parks and see all these big lions and things like that. I mean, they're bigger than you think, and like you see on TV or something. They're big, big old paw marks way up, 8, 9, 10 feet up on trees and stuff like that. While we were there, they said there was a guy that was riding around in a park, and they said, "Whatever you do, don't get out of the car. Whatever you do, don't get out of the car. Whatever you do, don't get out of the car." It's a little Japanese fellow. He got out of the car, and he was taking pictures of a lion that was off in the distance. He didn't hear the other lion that came up behind him. I guess that guy was out there going, "Watch the birdie, watch the birdie." And the next thing you know, he snapped a picture, and before long, that lion came out of that jungle and grabbed him and snapped his neck. And before anybody could say, Jack Robinson drugged that fellow off into the bushes here. What are they going to do? There's nothing you can do. He's dead. You say, why? He got out of the car. It ain't the lion's fault. The lion did what he was supposed to do. You can't even blame it on the devil. If you walk in front of the devil, trust me, he's going to eat you. He's going to eat you. That came out a little too fast there. So what you have to realize is, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about these things, people don't want to deal with that kind of stuff. But everything there in the Bible, when judgment comes from God, it comes, it's just, it's right, and it's fair. It's just more harsh than most people. Let me ask you a question. Would you kill somebody for stealing fruit off a tree? God did. Yeah. Capital punishment. In the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Not only that, he damned an entire generation, an entire nation, an entire group of individuals from Eve all the way until we hauled out of here.
Right. Yep.
You say, why? Because he warned her. Yep. You don't get to back up. I believe you have the free will to choose, but you don't get to choose the repercussions of that choice.
Right. Right.
Sometimes you get away with it,
right. But
not every time. Sometimes the devil lets you get away with it enough times for you to think that you're getting away with it until he gets you good and bound up in it, and then he takes you and drops you like a rock down to the very bottom of the depths of depravity. I got away with it, 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 I've got away. No, you didn't. That's that snake I've told you about before. That boy trained that snake and trained that snake. True story. Got him where he would get up there and he'd bump him with his elbow and he'd unwind and go back to his little cage. They'd feed him a rabbit. Call him back out the next day. Everybody stand there and watch him. That snake would come out and coil all up, get up there and cover up his eyes and everything. And then he'd bump him and he'd uncoil. Did it for years. And one day he got up there and that snake came out there and everybody was watching and stuff. And he began to go around and the people out there watching the congregation there, or the group of people, crowd of people, they're looking and they're watching. And he bumps him and that snake tightens down a little bit. And then he starts to make a gasp and he can't grab his breath. And that snake tightens down a little bit more. And before his helpers could get there, that snake had crushed him completely, crushed the life right out of him. You say, what happened? I bump him every time he turns me loose. I bump him every time he turns me loose. I bumped him. I bumped him. I bumped him. I'm dead. He got me. You say, what? That's how sin is. You can't say. You say, well, that was their first time out. How come they don't get another opportunity? You're not guaranteed another opportunity.
Amen.
I preached to you a little bit about it this morning. Nobody's guaranteed to hear the gospel twice. People in America think, you know, well, I got plenty of time, I got plenty of time. They flip on the radio, they flip on the TV, they go hear their preachers, gospel, tracts all over the place, Bible all over the place, stuff laying everywhere where you can see the Lord. You get the idea that I must have plenty of time. You may not have any more time.
Right.
If you're here in Sunday school this morning and you've never had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ as a sinner, you know where you're going? You're going to hell.
Amen.
So, well, I'll wait till tomorrow. You're stupid to think you may have tomorrow. I have people in this congregation could stand up and tell you people in their family thought they had tomorrow too. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, the Bible says.
Amen.
Today, thy soul shall be required of thee. Rich man said, I've got it made now, boy. I'm lickety-split, man. I'm living big, build bigger barns. I got a harvest bigger than I can handle, man. I'm going to have a bigger crop next year than I've ever had before and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord comes in and calls him a fool. He said, thou fool, knowest not that thy soul shall be required of thee today. Today, you have to realize, ladies and gentlemen, the stuff we're talking about is not like you have tomorrow.
Right.
You make decisions today.
Right.
Tomorrow may not ever come.
Amen.
Who knows what will happen tomorrow? You say, what do? You try to do your best to plan for today. Now, this thing that we're going to talk about, I'm going to try to show you who this daughter of Babylon is. It's mentioned again in Zechariah, but it's also mentioned here in Jeremiah chapter 51. And the daughter of Babylon has got some hints. So you pick it up in Jeremiah chapter number 51 and you'll start seeing things about the second coming. Verse number 5, Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah his God of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. That's the restoration of Israel at the second coming of Christ. Verse number 6, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. If you want to write it down, you can. Revelation chapter number 18. Well, as a matter of fact, just stick your finger in the book of Revelation. We'll spend a little bit of time there. And let me show you if we can figure out who this is. Revelation chapter number 18. And look, if you will, please, in verse number 4. Look how it matches. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. Come out from her. He says here in Jeremiah, he says, flee out of the midst of Babylon. Look in verse number 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand and made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken her wine. Is it sounding familiar? Therefore the nations are mad. Doesn't that match Revelation 17? Look at verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearl, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Verse number 5 of Revelation chapter 17, upon her forehead was written, the name written, Mystery Babylon, great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of all the earth. So we're talking about Roman Catholicism.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, that's what it is. Well, preacher, the fastest growing religion is no longer Roman Catholicism. That changed a few weeks ago. People that have been running around saying for years that we have to think the United States must be Revelation 17 and 18. It must be Muslim, Revelation 17 and 18. It must be Chrislam and Rick Warren's foolishness and mixing all the people together and holding hands with all the queers and let's make amends for everybody, make a religion for everybody. Let's cross all barriers and meet with the Pope and meet with this and meet with that. That's your purpose-driven church, purpose-driven life foolishness.
Amen.
Don't throw up in your mouth, I'm not done yet. Some of you look shocked already this morning. You're living in the days of apostasy where everybody says, oh, well, I think that's a wonderful thing for everybody to get together. I'll be jumped if I'm holding hands with Elton John and I'm going to have a kiss heard round about the world. You say, why? It increases your membership. You got bills you got to pay. That's why. And if you're a man, you ought to amen that. What are we talking about? We're talking about who this daughter of Babylon is. It's a prophetic a prediction. It's telling you something that's going to happen in the future. Verse number 8, Babylon has suddenly fallen and destroyed, Revelation 17 and 18. Come on a little bit further, if you will, please, in the Psalm in Jeremiah 51 here. And look, if you will, at verse number 13. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in trespasses. See that? Thine end is come, our treasure, excuse me, and is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. Look in Revelation 17. Look in verse 1. There came out seven angels and seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee great judgment of a great whore that sitteth upon many waters. You see that? Well, it's matching up with Jeremiah 51. Preacher, what's Jeremiah 51? It has three different applications. I'll give you some more in Jeremiah 51. Historically, the Medes and the Persians, when they came in there, they destroyed the babies. Babylon was conquered by Darius and Cyrus. And then again, it happened a little bit later on when Nebuchadnezzar came through. That's over there in Jeremiah 49. But it's prophetic in the sense of it's going to happen again. You say, when? It's going to happen during the tribulation period, and it's going to happen to Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be inhabited again by the Antichrist, and it'll be inhabited again by Gentiles. You say, what will they do? Woe unto them that give suck in those days. That's not a Christian. God never tells a Christian not to have children. He says there's somebody there during a time period, it's better for you not to have babies. You say, why? Because when they come in there, they're going to do what the Japanese and the Nazis did during World War I and World War II. Throw babies in the air and catch them on bayonets. Take the babies and one grab one leg, one grab the other leg, and split them in two. Lamentations, when that whole thing was encircled about, they're eating their children. You say, what is that? That's a demonic thing to destroy innocence from off the earth. That's why they do that. It's demonic. Who is this? This is the woman whose cup is full of the blood of the saints. Whether you like it or not, you just don't read. You don't know anything about history. You don't know anything about the Spanish Inquisitions. The greatest damage ever done on the face of this earth was done by so-called Christian people in the name of Mary and Roman Catholicism. The Pope went forward and blessed the Crusades. Your greatest dictators that ever came around were Roman Catholic. You say, well, what do you think? I'm talking about the church now, not the people. Don't get all flipped out now and get all crazy. Well, good night, preacher. I guess you don't care they go to hell, right? It doesn't matter to you at all as long as they like you. I guess it doesn't matter to you that they believe that sprinkling them with water and confirming them that causes them to be saved. I guess you think that them eating a wafer and drinking hooch just makes them saved. I guess that's okay, right? You shouldn't get too dogmatic about that stuff. I mean, they're just going to be in hell forever. Right? You know, I heard somebody go, whew, man. Yeah, whew, man, hell forever. Because you're worried about saving your hide. You're worried about being liked. You don't live for eternity. You live for here and now. You act as if you're going to live forever and forever and everything's going to be wonderful as long as you keep your house and keep your car and keep your lifestyle, as long as you're comfortable, you keep your reputation. Come on in, find you a seat, man. Somebody will slide over. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you start thinking that way, you never think about eternity at all. You have to learn to think about eternity. You say, why? Somebody's going to go to hell. Well, I'm not going to go to hell, preacher. Yeah, well, you're not on the Titanic saving yourself jumping the lifeboat that's half empty. You should be the one staying on the Titanic and letting people get off the boat there so you can go down. You know where you're going. I just want to try to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that you're looking at a serious situation here. Come back to Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter number 51. Look, if you will, please, at the battle axe is there in verse number 20. That's Satan. Verse number 21. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. Verse 22, with thee I'll break in pieces man and woman. Verse 23, I'll break in pieces thee and the shepherd and his flock. That's God using Babylon to destroy people. And then look in verse number 25. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain. Does that sound familiar to you? That destroying mountain, ladies and gentlemen, is the mountain that's thrown into the river there, or thrown into the sea a little bit later on. That's Revelation 17 and 18. Come down to verse 33. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. You say, well, what is that? That's a reference to what goes on in the tribulation. That's Rome. So the answer to your question, Brother Bert, is Rome. That's the daughter of Edom. That's the daughter of that came out there. Tarshish is another place that's a daughter of Babylon, and they have different names, and that's a reference to Rome in the tribulation period. Well, that's what that is. Matthew chapter number 24. Amen. It gets better. Matthew 24. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you live in a day and time where trying to get preachers to shut up and not be divisive about anything. That's not biblical.
Amen. Amen.
You can't preach the Bible and not be divisive.
Amen.
The Lord said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. So you have to realize, you don't have to be a jerk about it, but if you preach the Bible, it's not going to line up with everybody.
Amen.
I'm not here to make buddies with the Muslims.
Amen.
You say, why? They don't serve the same God that I do. I care about their soul. You don't? Well, it's not just that they're wrong, but I believe in letting them. You know something that's strange to me? This irks me. You know what they would never think about doing? They never think about what you people think about doing. They have a book called the Quran. They never mess with it. They don't rewrite it, and you won't find a whole bunch of versions of it. You find one version. They will cut your head off. They will flay you like a deer. They will burn you alive if you mess with that book. And you people don't think nothing of messing with the King James Bible yet. Well, I think the better interpretation is, and I think a living should say, and I think the New American Standard, and I think the NIV, and I think this. You don't think nothing. You mean a Muslim trusts a fake book better than you trust yours? What's wrong with you?
Amen.
That Muslim believes more about what he's doing. You know what that Muslim believes? And you'll never breed it out of him. Unless that individual meets Jesus Christ and has the Lord of the light up the inside, you'll never change him. He lives to die for his cause. He don't live to just die a martyr so he gets a bunch of virgins. It ain't virgins. It ain't all fleshly stuff. They really believe in their cause. What's sad to say is they pray more than we do. Three times a day, whether it's ritualistic or religious or not, three times a day they'll roll a mat out wherever they are and pray. Somebody said the other day, we know now they're putting in Orlando and in Denver and what's the place to go? Detroit. They've got places where Muslims can have their places of worship. Hey, if you don't make a place of worship for a Muslim, he'll throw a rug out in the middle of an airplane aisle. He'll throw a rug out there at the middle of the baggage claim. He don't care where he's at. When it's time for him to pray, he'll pray. He don't care if it hair lips you and the devil. Christians ain't like that. Do you mind if I pray? Do you mind if I say the blessing? Do you mind if I call the... Can I say Jesus here? They don't care whether you like it or not. They're going to do it. You say, well, that's just arrogance. Well, it might be good for you to get a little bit more backbone. The very idea you mess with a book and they don't mess with a book. I don't get that. That don't make sense to me. God can preserve your soul and he can't preserve a book. You must have a matchbox God, is all I can figure. You must have a God that thinks that you can sit down and intellectually be on the same level. Have you ever looked at Job? I gave you this a few weeks ago. Have you ever looked at Job? Job comes to him and says, I want to know what in the cat hair you think you're doing. I want to know who you think you are. I want some answers now. And the Lord comes down and he said, okay, if you can answer me this, here's the riddle. Where were you when I formed the foundations of the world? Come on, answer. I want to hear your answer. Where were you when the sons of God sang and shouted for joy? Where were you when I put the star clusters in existence and named billions of stars one by one? Where were you when I hung the earth on nothing and spun it and told it to stay spinning until it was done? Where were you when I hung the sun out there? Now, Job, if you can answer me those things, I'll figure that you're on the same level. And unless you can, I ain't talking to you. I'm God. I don't answer to you. And Job said, well, come to think of it, I'm good. come to think of it, I can see where the error of my ways here. You're right, I'm wrong, and I was an idiot for even thinking I could even ask you like that. But that's what we do, isn't it? They don't question theirs. They don't question theirs. They don't question their imams. They put out an edict or an order or whatever. They follow it. They think it's from God. And a Muslim has more faith in their book than you do in your book? You've been spoiled by free will all the time. You've been spoiled by the fact that God don't backhand us every time we doubt His Word. Amen. 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 Matthew chapter number 24, we're talking about the difference in the second advent and the difference in the rapture. Now, Matthew 24 is among the most perverted passages in all the Bible. Now, get what I'm fixing to tell you down, and I'm going to tell you repeatedly over and over, but you got to get this. When Matthew 24 is penned, there are no Pauline revelations and there is no church. Do you understand? No Pauline revelation. Romans to Philemon does not exist. There is nothing known to them as a church. They are apostles of Jesus Christ. They're Jewish apostles. Matthew 10, they go not to the way of the Gentiles, but only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They don't know anything about a church age. They don't know anything about a rapture. They don't know anything about any stuff that you know. So you cannot read the church into these passages. But everybody's doing it. I mean, Baptist preachers are doing it. I understand people that don't know the Bible. These are people that claim to know the Bible. The most irritating thing I've ever seen in my life. I think I mentioned it to you last week. I've been going so much I can't remember, but if I didn't, it bears repeating. You get a guy that just wrote all this stuff about the Shemitah and the blood moons and the Tetra and this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and so on and so forth, and none of it happened. So he puts out another book talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse have already begun to ride. You're not here for the four horsemen to begin to ride. It's quickly moving up to being one of the best sellers. You say, why? How come people would buy that? That guy's written four books and not a single... He's worse than camping. That guy's written four books and not a single one of the things he's written about have come true. You say, what's doing it? Stupid Christians are buying that material, and instead of believing the Bible, they're saying, well, he's saying this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. You know why you want to know when it's going to happen? So you can live wicked right up to the last minute and then get right and try to get out. You want some kind of a forecast for warning. You ain't going to get a forecast for a warning. You don't get like this thing I saw the other day. There in an airport, I went through this thing and I saw the thing up there, and this lady gets this note. Your heart attack will happen today at 12 o'clock or something. You don't get a notice for when that's going to happen. Amen. He'd drop you in your tracks. Can you imagine? You wake up in the morning and by your breakfast dishes, you will have a heart attack at 12 o'clock today. And then you're just like, okay, well, pass the coffee and pass the potatoes and give me some bread and jam and so on and so forth. I'm going to have a heart attack at 12, you know, I'm good. No, you wouldn't. You'd be flipping out. Right. You don't get enough. You don't know when it's going to happen. I could be talking to you today and be gone by this afternoon. Right. Really, I could drop dead before the morning service. Right. From the looks of some of you, hope I do. Yeah, preacher, that might be a good idea. Let's have somebody else up there. You're just a little too negative this morning. This isn't negative. This is positive. Amen. You're on the winning side. You're doing something right for a change. You made it to church today. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I didn't come for that. Well, you needed to get woke up a little bit. Get a couple of smelling salts up there. Matthew chapter 24 is one of the most perverted passages in all the Bible. All your prophecy teachers teach Matthew 24 is happening now or is going to happen before the church. They all go to Matthew 24. Well, you've heard of wars and rumors of wars and famine and pestilence. That's been going on, ladies and gentlemen. If you lived in another part of the country, not the United States of America, pestilence and famines and wars and people dying of plagues and stuff like that, that's been going on in other parts of the world since the world began. Pretty big pestilence in the days of Noah. Wiped out everybody. Pretty big pestilence in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Pretty big pestilence comes along during the times of war that took place that wiped out hundreds of thousands long before the Lord even came. Pretty big pestilence, I think, if I remember right, coming out of Egypt. If I remember right, didn't the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and the entire nation of Egypt get wiped out? I thought they did. Wasn't there a huge famine when Joseph was there, I think, and killed a whole bunch of people? You say, well, but preacher, when they say there's wars and rumors of war, did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that you get more stuff about wars and rumors of wars now because you've got an electronic thing that keeps you up to date on everything going on? I won't deny there's not an increase in that kind of thing. You say, why? You got more people around, so there's more reason to fight. You're bunched up together now, so now everybody's got a right to this and a right to that, and there's too much publication of everybody's position and opinions and things like that. That's why you get into trouble with all kind of people on Facebook. You say, why? Because they have a dissenting opinion, and now you got a war going. And you each choose your side, and now you start firing each other emails or whatever that thing is you shoot across that stuff. I wish to God I could get somebody for just a week to just turn it off.
Amen.
You'd be surprised. You get to the end of that week, and you'll still be alive.
Yeah.
And the world will continue to turn, man. You'll just surprise you. You'll be like, oh my God, where have you been? I just took a week off. And I don't know why, but I sleep better. I eat better. I don't have IBS and all kind of stuff and constipation and hemorrhoids. And I just ain't got time. You know, I'm doing pretty good. I never realized how busy I really was till I turned that off. All right, Revelation chapter number 25, or Matthew 24, excuse me, look in verse number 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? And notice, the end of the world. The end of the world's not the end of the earth, by the way, by asteroid or anything else. All this, anyway. Jesus, verse number 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. There's plenty of that going on nowadays.
Amen.
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. If you're taking notes, write down Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. That's your first horse of the apocalypse that rides, and it's the Antichrist. And he comes with a bow and no arrows. He obtains the kingdoms by peace and flatteries, Daniel tells you. Peace and flatteries. He's Joel Osteenism. He's Jakesism. He's Myersism. He's this all this positive psychiatric stuff. No Bible stuff. Just use the Bible as the springboard to tell you how to be a better you, to be the I am of your life, to be successful, to be able to have all your psychiatric problems. Listen, church is not a group therapy session.
Amen.
It's a preaching session where you hear what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
It's not this, how do you feel today? Oh, I'm Miss Trina, I'm sorry you feel bad today. Let me give you a little sugar. There's so much sugar coming out of the pulpit, you get diabetes listening to it. Let me give you a little bit of help. Oh, sisters, oh, and how are you? Oh, good. I'm sorry, Miss Smith. It's so good to have you today. And I'm sorry, but the word I gave to her is not the word for you. Let me give you a word today from that. And down the whole thing goes. You have people get hooked up on that thing like I get hooked to heroin. Yeah, you come here to get right with God, not to get right within yourself. Get right with God. That's your measuring stick. Not, you know, try to understand you. You're whacked out. Just like trying to... The Bible says you deal with a woman according to knowledge. You say, why? You have to learn things about her. You say, why? She changes every day.
Yeah.
Amen. Whether you like that or not, it's true. She changes. That's what the Lord says. Well, you can't get along with yourself. You go too much by your feelings.
Yeah.
You got to learn you can't go by your feelings. You don't get to get up every day and say, I don't feel like going. That's why none of you ever get, some of you never get nothing done. I don't feel like doing it. You aren't entitled to feelings. I got to do it. Why? I got to provide for eat something. I got to provide for my family. I got bills to pay. I don't feel like it. Doesn't play into the equation. I don't feel like going to church. Well, if you don't, you wait till you feel like it, you ain't going to be going. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. Grow up. Get your stinking thumb out of your mouth. Put your bottle down. Get off the pablum and get you a rare piece of meat and eat it. Get a little bit of character. Some of you men, you just surprise the stew out of me. I got some young women in here do circles around you when it comes to character. Get up before the sun comes up and go to bed after the sun goes down and got more character and get more done in their pinky and you're still worried about your feelings. Your feelings. Your feelings. I feel angry. Well, then you better put a lid on it. A fellow came up to me the other night. He says, well, I just disagree with this, and I just disagree with that, and so on and so forth. And I just feel this way, I feel that way, and so on and so forth. I said, well, you're entitled to that. And I wanted to say, the Lord wouldn't let me, but I wanted to say, make sure you tell your boss how you feel in the morning.
Yeah.
That's a strange thing. You don't tell anybody else how you feel, but everybody has open season on, you know, preachers that preach. You know, well, I'm going to tell him how I feel. You don't apply that across the board. Just a preacher's held to request. He's sequestered, and he can't say nothing. But he's thinking he wants to knock your head off. But he wouldn't do that in the name of Jesus, but he's thinking that. But, you know, Paul got in trouble one time when the fellow smacked him like that. And Paul said, the Lord smite thee, O whited wall. And the Lord said, Paul, now wait a minute. And got on to him. preacher's supposed to not have speech that can be condemned and stuff like that. A friend of mine years ago, a guy came and squared off with him and knocked the tar out of him, man. I mean, hit him hard. And he wound up, you know, getting into a fight with him and so on and so forth. And then he felt really bad about it. I told him the illustration I was told about Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday had got done preaching. He was a professional baseball player, and he got called to preach and came up after the meeting. An old sawdust thing, fella kept sitting in the back there. He finally came down there, and he said, "You know what the Bible says?" He said, "What's that?" He said, "The Bible says if somebody smites you, you have to turn the other cheek." And he knocked the tar out of Billy Sunday, knocked him down on the ground. And a few people standing around there, and he went to him. Billy Sunday waved him off like that, and he stood up, and he shook himself off like that and kind of washed his jaw, and he turned his jaw to the other side, and the guy knocked him down again. And Billy Sunday got up and mopped the floor with that guy. I mean, just stinking. I mean, wore him out. And the guy said, "Man, what'd you do? I mean, busted teeth and blood running everywhere. What'd you do that for?" He said, "Well, the Bible tells me if you hit me once, I'm to turn the other cheek. And then when you hit me again, but he don't tell me what to do after that. So I took it upon my own interpretation." Well, that's a pretty good interpretation. I don't know if that was the Living Bible or what, but that was a pretty good one. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to learn you can't go by your feelings. You can't always go by emotions. You have to learn to sequester those. You got to go by fact, not by feeling. Amen. Feeling plays into it. I understand that. But facts are what you have to learn to operate on, not feelings. Your feelings can fool you. Amen. And sometimes your feelings, you have the wrong emotion at the wrong time. You don't laugh at funerals. That ain't the time to be telling jokes. We had a big funeral here not long ago, a pile of people piling in here and so on and so forth, and a politician saw it as an opportunity to come by and glad hand a bunch of people, and he comes by and he says, "Hey, Mr. Peacock, Brother Peacock, how are you? Nice to see you," and he's talking to me and that kind of thing. I said, "Good to see you, glad you're here, appreciate you coming." The line comes down here. It was Michael's funeral. The line come down here and so on and so forth. He said, "Well, I just wanted to give you this. If you want to put a Christian in office, make sure you vote." Well, I couldn't resist. I said, "Brother, we're at a funeral." Well, I know. I said, "Well, this ain't the time or the place." "Well, I was just saying that maybe you might want me to come to speak to your congregation." I said, "You've had all the words here you'll ever have." Amen. You said, "No, surely not." "Oh, yes, right back there." And if I'd have had some of these other fellows around me and they'd heard him say that, they'd have danced him out of here on his ear. You say, "What is that? Wrong thing at the wrong time, using somebody else's tragedy to facilitate their bid for office. I wouldn't vote for that guy. He was the only guy on there. See, what do you do? I'd white him out. No candidate as far as I'm concerned. Why, the donkey? What a fool now. That's foolish." Now, see, some of you are like, "Well, now, you know, preacher and all that." Uh-uh. First of all, I guess he hadn't heard much preaching around here because we don't care about politics here. For all you new people here, don't be putting your flyers out there come 2016 to tell us who to vote for. I'll burn them. You had a lady, she just comes in one day, she just says, "Well, I just believe that every church should be involved in this." And I said, "Ma'am, it'd be better for you to just keep those things." She said, "And why is that?" I said, "Because they're going to go in the trash." She goes, "Oh, you would not." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I would. This is the Lord's house. We don't talk about politics here. Well, you need to instruct your people how to vote." I said, "I have all grown people here. They can read. They know how to vote. Is the sway blue or red?" I said, "Blue or red?" She goes, "You know, Democratic or Republican." And I said, "I don't know. I never ask them their political affiliation. As long as they're hooked up with Jesus, I don't care." She looked like some of y'all are looking. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. Independent, Tea Party, or anything else. I don't care. It don't matter to me. If your political affiliation defines you, something's wrong with you. "I'm a Democrat. I vote the party line." You've lost your mind. Heil Hitler. That's what they did. They voted the party line. Had no idea what they were putting in there. So you just were like, "Oh, that's you. You think your party's right." We ain't going to split the church over politics. We might split it over a King James Bible or something worth fighting over. We ain't splitting it over politics. And we ain't splitting it over prejudices. We ain't splitting it over preferences for sure. Verse number 6. Most perverted passage in the Bible. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The end is a reference to the end of the tribulation period. That'll match Revelation chapter number 6, verses 3 and 4, the red horse with the wars. Well, it can't be for you. Preacher, but we're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. And I'll stop quoting that. Find it for me in the Pauline epistles as a sign for the... You can't. That's a sign in the tribulation for the coming of the Lord,
amen,
not the coming of the tribulation. The end of the world. See that, verse 3? You tell me that's all you got to preach on is to get people jacked up and worried about, you know, they're going to lose their gold standard or whatever it might be. What a crazy thing. That don't help you at all, the judgment seat of Christ. Verse number 7, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Preacher, you know earthquakes are on the increase. Duh. You ever think about this? You have a better way of reporting them than you ever did either. So it stands to reason you hear more about it, because you got all kind of seismic abilities now that you didn't have before. And you have people living where there's earthquakes. Well, because of the increase, okay, well, that's fine. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. He doesn't say an increase in earthquakes. Oh, I'm sorry, they just added that a little bit in there. He just said earthquakes in many places. There's going to be a lot of earthquakes. Okay. How does that match up? Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. Pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. I'll grant you earthquakes have picked up. What does it mean? I don't know. You think it's a sign of the coming of the Lord? No. That has to do with the end of the tribulation. That means during the tribulation, there's going to be such an uptick that the earthquakes they're talking about there are man killers. There's going to be a 10.5 in California, and it's going to slide off into... Here's modern science prophesying now. The seismologists say, we know that sometime we're going to have the great earthquake, and it is going to split California off of the United States as we know it. Sometime in the next 1,000 years. You're not even going to live to see whether or not he's lying. Global warming. The poles are melting. Sea level is going to rise. Sometime in the next 1,000 years, Florida's going to be flooded. What about my kids, my grandkids, my great, 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 whatever, whatever? Can't even think that far. 1,000 years? Well, that's real pinpoint accuracy, isn't it? Look how good science is. Let me hurry. All these are the beginning of tribulation. Verse 9. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all, notice, nations for my name's sake. Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. It sounds like an independent Baptist church. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. My, my, my. You mean you have to endure to the end of all that to be saved? What about the people that die before that?
Right.
Endure to the end, what is that, the end of your life? No, they endure to the end of the tribulation. Why? So they get an opportunity to come into the millennium.
Right. Amen.
Look, if you will, please, in verse number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world and a witness to the nations. And then shall the end come. Now, preacher, you know if that gospel... If it gets around the world, TBN's got stuff everywhere now so the gospel can get out so now Jesus can come. He's not even talking about your gospel.
Amen.
I started off the day by telling you when Matthew 24 was written, there was no gospel of the death, burial, and the resurrection. Jesus Christ had not even died yet. This is Jesus talking to Jews, Jewish apostles. And when we get into the other paragraph over there, I'm going to show you that it has to do with the nation of Israel, it has to do with the land of Palestine, and it has to do with keeping a Sabbath. You don't do any of those things.
Amen.
It's all Jewish.
Amen.
You're not Jewish, and you don't take the place of the Jew, like I heard a Baptist preacher say recently.
Amen.
A Baptist preacher saying the church has replaced Israel. You must be smoking crack. There's something wrong with you. You've been down in the belly of the whale with Jonah and smoking seaweed or something. Something's wrong with you. We don't take that place. You're the bride of Christ. You say, well, you shouldn't be such a smart aleck. See, it bothers me that it don't bother you. It bothers me that you just kind of think, well, it's not really that big of a deal. You're saved and on your way to heaven, and you could care less whether anybody else gets their Bible right or not, because there's a lot of people that are looking for that stuff right there, and they get all messed up in their Bible, and they never get saved, looking for the end come the end, the end, the end, the end, the end, the end. What I'm trying to do is to give you something that'll help you to help other people get saved. Amen. Get them on the ark before the Lord blows the horn.
Amen.
When's He going to blow it? Might blow it for me and you today.
Amen.
How do you know? You don't. Your time of your death could be today. If you're ready to die, you're ready for the rapture. When's the rapture? I don't know. Next. I just thought it'd be cool if he said it and he went, doo doo, like, I told you so. All right, we'll take a break there. Thank you for your attention this morning. I really do appreciate it. And we'll pick that up this evening. If you want part two of that, we'll grab that this evening.